The views, opinions, and positions expressed on this radio program are those of the speakers, authors, or other contributors, and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions held by BBS Radio Network or its affiliates. This broadcast is intended for entertainment purposes only.
In heart and space of genuine and heightened awareness. Miracles manifest. Conscious evolution becomes inevitable, and the revelations to one's spirit becomes revolutionary within the simplicity of its own essence. Awakening then becomes of its aware the destination of such a path when one has answered to the calling, unfolds to reveal the ripening of one's universal truths. The book of positive light, remembrance of the heart.
And now, here is your host for Quantum Mindfulness Radio, Joel Ayala Ayupanya.
Ladies and gentlemen, I welcome you back to another edition of Quantum Mindfulness Radio, a quantum think tank of sorts, a sacred space of sorts, of which opens our realities to limitless potentiality and possibilities, in awakening the world from one generous heart to the very next, and then there to the very next by storm. And back with me again for the second installment of our conversation from 2 weeks ago is my dear and wonderful friend, Diane Collins, the author of her groundbreaking book, Do You Quantum Think? New Thinking That Will Rock Your World. Welcome back, dear Diane. Welcome back to the show.
Hello, Joel. It is just such an honor and a pleasure to be with you. I love your show.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, dear Diane. As an extension from our intriguing conversation from our last broadcast, we talked about the resonance that we had created for ourselves, you and I, and in how we had met to where our energies had aligned for and within itself to this very conversation that we are currently having within this moment on Quantum Mindfulness Radio. We talked about morphogenetic fields as it generously pertains to Rupert Sheldrake's work, and even to how synchronicity had contributed to much of our interplay in conversation to the subject matter of topic. We further spoke superficially about the four aspects of knowing, which was detailed specifically within your book. And in conclusion from the last broadcast, we spoke about the three conditions that exist when speaking about living a life of conscious creation. We spoke about the first condition, which is this quickening of sorts, and how things are manifesting at a much quicker and higher rate of pace because of the essential thinning of time, for which intention and for which the time that it takes to actually manifest that intention is actually thinning, and for which time in itself is thinning. And we emphasize the importance of always staying within the heart when pertaining to this quickening of sorts, for we can never go wrong when we always embrace a heart-centered consciousness. The second condition, on the other hand, lies from aligning ourselves in particular to our own intuitive faculties in order to making manifest the things we desire to create, or to making certain things happen when we are more aligned with our subjective intuitive nature from within. And then we concluded the show, the very third condition, which is unfathomable uncertainty. So, Diane, if you could, please continue on further with a description of what this third condition of unfathomable uncertainty pertains to and entails.
The third condition that we're living in today, what I like to call unfathomable uncertainty. You know, when we're in a period of a great transition, unlike I would imagine, unless you can remember, you know, an intergalactic experience you've had, or, you know, another lifetime of who knows, but that, you know, as far as we can relate in today's world, that what is going on now is really unprecedented. This transition is unprecedented for humanity. And when we undergo such a dramatic transformation, what happens is we're watching the dissolution, the dissolving of the old, this aspects of the old systems and structures and cultural institutions and mores that are no longer effective for us or beneficial going forward. This is collective, and this is it affects every entity, business organizations. It affects our communities. It affects us as individuals. So this is what we could say, like, every day we never know what's going to go on. You know, a company creates, or a person creates, a new technology, and it literally alters the world. Certainly Apple did that. Certainly Facebook did that. And all of a sudden, you're in a different reality. So we never really know what's going to happen. I call that the third condition. The first two, as I said, being accelerating pace of change. The second one being increasing complexity and choice. And the third one being this kind of uncertainty. Now, how do we think for this world? How can we think in sync with a world that is literally outside? And you know, when you talked about the thinning of time, I love that term. I'll give attribution, but I'll borrow it. But when you talk about that, and you think, how do we think for this world? Well, we're that in a world that is beyond the limits of space-time, that is the 24/7 world, where even the communications, where, you know, texting or whatever, email, no one expects, you know, an immediate response to anything, and it's okay if, you know, it's a delayed return of the message. So we're in that kind of world, as you say, the thinning of time. How do we think for that world? Well, if we're in the habits of thinking that we're conditioned by the industrial age, that step-by-step linear process, time moves only in one direction, then you can understand, and I'm sure as a psychiatric nurse you see this, where people are getting stressed and burned out, because you're trying to live in a fast-paced, complex, uncertain world using thinking that is accustomed to step-by-step. Again, not that there's anything wrong with it, but we need to be able to be effective in the world as the conditions are today. So how do we do that? Well, the way that I say it, Joel, is it requires a literal quantum leap in consciousness. What does that mean? A quantum leap means, in science, that there's a shift in state. There's even a shift in the orbit. You know, in one minute, the energy is in one orbit, and another, it's in a different orbit. Or they say in spin. It's spinning in one way and then it's spinning in another way. But adapting that again, mapping that onto us as people, a quantum leap in consciousness, there's no traceable pathway. That's the main thing about a quantum leap. One second you're in this state, another second you're in that state. Now, we experience that all the time, but we're talking about doing this consciously and as a whole framework for living and thinking. So a quantum leap in consciousness means you take a leap to the framework for thinking, to these quantum-spiritual principles, and you start to look and live from them rather than looking at them from your current, possibly undifferentiated perspective. So you're taking a leap from the old worldview to the new worldview thinking. Now, the old worldview is one system within the, you know, overarching system, within the unbounded, you know, infinite. But you cannot see and work from an infinite system while you're still in a limited system of thinking, or any system. So that's why you have to make the leap. So it would be kind of like, you know, we're usually experienced, we can have a quantum leap right now to experience this. We're usually relate to ourselves as, you know, in this body, wherever you are in space-time right now, and looking out at around this, our surroundings, looking out at the Earth, looking up at the stars and the moon and the other planets, if you can see them, and the cosmos. That's how we usually experience ourselves. Now, imagine that it's the other way around. Imagine yourself being out in space like an astronaut, looking back at the moon, looking back at the solar, at the other planets, looking back at the Earth, looking back at yourself wherever you're sitting now on Earth. That's a quantum leap in consciousness.
Get ready and enter into the last undiscovered planet in our galaxy, the human consciousness. Take a ride with American-born autodidact and polymath, M.A. Carano, author of the highly regarded book, Asleep in the Helix, as he succeeds like few others before him in breaking down whole brain synthesis for a revolutionary new ethical philosophy, circumscribing the indispensable principles for overthrowing the forces that stand between the ego and the total realization of its highest potential. Drawing up on resources as exotic as quantum physics and chaos theory on through the outer limits of transpersonal psychology and the science of cybernetics, Asleep in the Helix amounts to nothing less than the most scientifically advanced platform for personal evolution available in print. Dr. Patel calls it scientifically articulate and intensely researched. Asleep in the Helix: Survival in the Science of Self-Realization by M.A. Carano is available in major online book retailers. Change your life and get your copy today through HollywoodBookTrailers.com.
We can do that, and we expand the whole way that we relate in life. So that when you start realizing, oh, intuition as a way of life, that it becomes very natural for you to connect in to that, into for that information that you needed. And, you know, did you ever have this, Joel, where you're thinking about something that you need to do? This is that quickening, that thinning of time, you know, the time span between thought creation and manifestation, where I know this happens to me a lot more lately, where you're thinking about something and I need to do this, you know, I need to make this dental appointment. And then all of a sudden the dentist's office will call me. So I didn't even have to make the call. They called me. Have you been having those kind of experiences?
Diane, yes, of course. I would have to declare and say this happens more frequently than not. And yes, for sure. Often at times this would happen for me, especially as of late, and especially so from the very last year. Say, for example, I would often think of my wife, and she would call me soon after thinking about something that we had done together, or even something that she had said. And then immediately she would text me, or within the very next minute she would call me. And this would have to happen often more than not, especially with my other peers on the psychiatry unit. Often at times as well, I would also think about a patient of whom had frequented their stay here on my hospital floor within the hospital system through several frequented admissions. And wouldn't you know, after just thinking about them, they would call within the next half hour asking about their medications or anything that had pertained to their treatment plan or care prior to their discharge from the unit. Or perhaps our doctors on the floor would even notify us, the nursing staff, of a pending admission. And after, again, thinking about that specific patient, what that very person or that potential admission would be, would often be the person that I was thinking about through just a variable thought or just from a variable memory. So yes, funny that you would say that. These particular happenings have been happening more frequently as of late.
It's wonderful. It's like a feeling of delight. You know, it makes life more joyful. And I think that's why living the wisdom, becoming, this is what I mean by integrating it, so that it's not just a concept. And, you know, I gave a talk once on what I call answering the call of wisdom. And it made me start thinking about wisdom. You know, we still like to make these distinctions, right? Of, you know, what is wisdom and what? And I was just thought, well, there are at least what I could see, three different kinds of wisdom. And one is the wisdom, right, that we all aspire to, that all the great master, you know, self-realized beings, God, the wisdom of love with a capital L, right? Unconditional love, compassion, kind-heartedness, all of those, joy, just the joy of living without, you know, regardless of any circumstances. There's that kind of wisdom, right, which I can call universal wisdom. And then there's the wisdom that is personal to each of us. I mentioned it earlier about your worldly purpose, that the great paradox of being human is we're universally the same. We all want the same things. You know, we want great relationships. We want prosperity. We want health. We want self-expression, fulfillment, spiritual connection, all of it. And yet we're uniquely distinct. And each of us has wisdom that comes uniquely through us. So whatever your profession, if you're a psychiatric nurse, I'm using you as an example, and obviously you're more than that, but I'm just using that as an example. Or if you're a radio show host, let's use that. How many radio shows hosts are there? Thousands of people who are radio show hosts. Each one has their unique way of expressing, of creating the show, of expressing your wisdom that comes through you. That's true for every single person on this planet. I don't care how educated or uneducated, whatever social or economic status you're in. Every single one of us is born divinely bestowed with our own unique wisdom. So that's the second class of wisdom, to become, when I say class, I mean kind, you know, three kinds of wisdom. It's that there's that wisdom that comes through you. The third kind of wisdom are what we've been talking about on this show. Universal laws, universal principles, the principles of mind in a mind/consciousness-based reality.
And I would have to say, Diane, that this wisdom in either fashion or form comes to us when the time is right. It comes when our psyche, in collaboration with our own individual circumstances and then life experiences, have marinated just enough within its incubation to a wisdom that would just be birthed and become manifested because of what we had come across within ourselves. Or perhaps that aha moment comes to us when we are aware of finally that differentiation between our olden approach to the new approach of conscious awareness. But this process is actually happening for us all at once, at the same time as one. And that's where lies the paradox.
That's exactly right. And you can consciously, this is what living consciously is all about, is that you can consciously conjure that. You can invoke that. And, you know, you've just really highlighted a very important point, which is that they're all integrated. They're not separate. You know, even though I'm distinguishing, you know, what we say in quantum thing, there are distinctions, but no actual separation between anything. And it really, you know, then what happens is, you know, when we say all is one, we're unified, right now it lives for people as just a concept. You know, I know one of your favorite distinctions in the quantum think is four aspects of knowing. And I say it's a funny way of saying, how are you related to what you know? What you know meaning whatever you hold in consciousness, whatever you hold in mind. And so what's your relationship to it? So the four relationships are, you could be related in unawareness, where you're just almost identified with it, or I say flotsam and jetsam on the sea of life. A circumstance happened, a shift in the wind, and you're blown about like a leaf. You know, no actual awareness, so it's related in unawareness, or something exists, but you're just not aware of it. That's another aspect of unawareness. You could be related conceptually. Conceptually is the basic relationship of the rational science, right? Worldview, the mechanical worldview, where, you know, how you look at politicians are a great example, because they all, you know, talk about their, you know, their faith, and they're steeped in their faith, and the faith is the most important, and we know the faith is the universal wisdom, right? Kindness, love, compassion. And then they get on the air, and they're, you know, they're spending a zillion dollars, you know, completely denigrating and slashing each other to bits with words. So you think, how is that? Because that's someone stuck in the conceptual knowing of the universal wisdom.
My name is M.A. Carano, experimental philosopher and systems consultant, and you're listening to Quantum Mindfulness Radio, live on BBS. Check me out at www.avatarparadigms.com for your latest metanoetic hookups. Definitely. If it's not mainstream, then you're on BBS.
Hello, my name is Dr. Advij, author of my new book, You're Not Crazy, Your Awakening, and you are listening to Quantum Mindfulness Radio on the BBS Radio Network. And remember, if it's not on mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
Hi, this is Tina Saki, best-selling author of My Spirit Is Not Religious, A Guide to Living Your Authentic Life. I help people self-heal by guiding them to release limiting beliefs and patterns, so that you can live spiritually open and authentically. And you are listening to Quantum Mindfulness Radio, hosted by Joe Ayapana. Namaste.
In a world where what we hear, see, and feel is elusively believed to be truth, comes an inspiring book that chronicles the journey of one's courage in seeking divine clarity from that of a different, more profound, more resounding, and inviting truth. A truth from within. Introducing The Book of Positive Light Remembrance of the Heart. Discover the memoir and journal of author Joel Ayala Ayapanya as he invites readers to explore the effortless powers within and the inner makings of their own hearts as they are guided by the very pages of this book. As a template to further exploring themselves from within to the point of self-rediscovery. Author Douglas Ross Hamilton writes, "The Book of Positive Light is a journeyman's guide to grasping the import of acquiring the inner light." Get your copy today at most major online bookstores, including Amazon.com. The Book of Positive Light, Remembrance of the Heart, is made available right here at HollywoodBookTrailers.com.
You know, and then there, so that's the second. The third aspect of knowing is intuitive, where you start to get, wow, you know, wait a minute, yes. If you have a result you want, you think, is it going to happen? And you have a real sense that you're connected to it. But it's still a little bit of separation. Then there's the participatory. So let's say an intuitive knowing. When you look at, oh, humanity is coming to a higher consciousness now, a better world. We are going to be living in the experience of that universal wisdom. And then you think, well, really? Maybe not, you know, the way things are looking. Because we're seeing the dissolution of the old. I started to say that in order for the new to emerge, there has to be some breaking down of the old. So if you get caught in that circumstantially, then you might start to doubt.
But wouldn't you say that the world lies currently within this time and space, between the conceptual and intuitive state or stage of knowing? I feel, Diane, that there are many people of several people, for that matter, as you and I, of whom are in the know specifically and strategically placed within this earthly plane. And of course, I would have to say that most of us light workers and of the like are between the intuitive and later stages of knowing. But with the world within this earthly plane, where is most of humanity? Where do they lie within those four stages of knowing? Where do you feel, Diane, that they are currently placed on this, on that scale, on your scale of stages within the stages of knowing?
Yes. Let me say what the last one is for everyone listening, is participatory. In participatory, then I love that question. We'll go back. Participatory knowing, it means exactly that. You realize that you are the seed, the blossom, and the fruit of your experience and therefore of your results. And that means, you know, your inner state, your relational fields with other people, and your outer, as I call it, houses, money, and car results. So it's that when you're in participatory knowing, that is the domain of intent. So in participatory knowing, it's 100% this is happening. It's like the doubt is gone. But I like that question. Where is humanity? And, you know, it's that we could, you know, how do we answer that question? But I think it is somewhere between conceptual and intuitive, because conceptual is, oh, yeah, we're changing the world. We're making better laws. We're examining our systems to make them better. But, of course, new thinking is needed for that, because otherwise it's just going to, you know, recycle upon what was born under the industrial age, our societal institutions of the medical industry, as you know, oriented around the five senses and parts of the body rather than looking in whole system. It's changing, but not there yet, looking from it. You know, every bit of it, the educational system where it's oriented around the physical matter. Oh, we study the brain, but we don't yet teach. I'm saying it's changing now because I'm creating it. These faculties of mind, if these were taught at a very early age to young children, how would that change the world? It would be fantastic. So all these institutions, the aspects of them that are not working, the force and control, you know, recently with all these, racial divide, where, you know, oh, should we put, you know, cameras on the police? And that's not going to change things. But you know, because that's not getting to the source. So we're in these conversations conceptually where we're trying to move the chess pieces around on the board to make a new world, but what we really need is a whole new game. So, you know, a new board, a different game. And so when you say conceptual to intuitive, and yet there's something in the hearts, right? In our hearts and souls, we know that we are in this time of creating a more divine expression on this earth with one another.
From within this knowing, Diane, it is just this realization that we ultimately know and feel from within our hearts simultaneously. We just cannot explain it, nor is it a requirement to perhaps even validate, as it would be placed as a requirement needed from our heads or egos for some sort of evidence or proof that it plainly exists. It is just plainly the opposite. When we know ultimately from within our hearts, and from within the heart, there is no need in particular of any proof or evidence. We simply just know. The simplicity of knowing from within our hearts is ultimately empowering. And because of this huge divide between our heads and egos in comparison to our hearts, when we are transitioning, especially so between the intuitive state of knowing and in the participative state of knowing, the experience of awakening and in enlightenment can often be an uncomfortable and scary experience, especially so when other people from all around you may not be experiencing the same level of conscious evolution within their awakening process as you are.
Exactly. But you know what? It's happened when we could. This is what I mean about the paradox of, you know, what I call the end of the Great Divide, because you and I, when we start holding it, like, let's hold it as no longer that it's not scary, that this is something that people want. And, you know, when quantum think came through me, the system of thinking, and that was, I registered it in 1997. It's a very long time that we've been delivering the work, and then finally I got it in a book to make it accessible to the world. But what people used to say to me, you know, we did a lot of work in corporations, and they would say, well, I get it, but the other people, I don't know, maybe they won't. And I'd say, no, you know what? And this is not the truth, what I'm saying. It's not the truth. It's context is everything, right? So it's a context that I'm choosing to live from, and I'm inviting you to live from it, is that I would say, no, everybody wants it because it's universal in all of us to want to live this wisdom. It's not my wisdom. This is our story. This is our wisdom. And it's in all of us. All we need is the access. And that's what's going on today. So we can hold it, Joel, that to, you know, really not even give attention to the us and them idea, but that, and I'm not saying, you know, what you're saying is valid. It is scary. It's people holding on. I just wrote a blog real quick that was, no one is talking about the source of the racial divide. And I got so far, just wrote it a couple of days ago, over 1,000 likes. But the comments, I got 100 comments that were, somebody wrote, hammering me, like saying, you know, what is this girl smoking? And I mean, so ugly are the comments. And, you know, my husband Alan looked at, I went, oh my God, you know, this never, what is this? And, you know, I have to keep in mind And so that the over 1,000 likes, but what he was saying is that, you know, this is really a lesson for all of us, is that the people who are the most vocal are the ones fighting, you know, still holding on, not by their choice, I would say, not by conscious choice, but because of what you're saying, that there is that fear going on. That, so it's the paradox. There's the fear going on, but we need to hold it as that they want it, you know? And he made up that interpretation. He goes, you know what? That is people on the verge of a quantum leap in consciousness, of an awakening of consciousness. Is that when you see people who are resisting like crazy, holding on to the beliefs that they've been brought up in. You know, most of our beliefs, we didn't choose. It's just a part of the default reality. You know, turn on your computer, there's the default settings. We're born into the default settings, and then we just, okay, that, right, whatever. And so now what's going on is, you know, we're questioning and we're realizing that we have the capability of creating something new, of creating something better. So what you're saying is true. Yeah, there's that. But I'm saying, and paradoxically, let's create together. Oh, and I wanted to bring out what Alan was saying about that. You know, you hear the people who are against so vocally, so loud, is that he said, you know, the people who are loving what you're talking about, they need to step up and be vocal too. And so, yeah, that's the other. And actually being okay and saying, you know what? This is a great idea. Let's get beyond, you know, the either or ping pong match. And let's go to the source and let's create together.
In life, we experience amazing events of synchronicity that we often dismiss as coincidence. We see, know, and understand things that we have no prior knowledge. Is it insanity? Or are we unconsciously connected to a universal power that is intense in signals and signs, constantly grabbing at our attention, attempting to lead us into our destiny? In the book, What Wags the World? Tales of Conscious Awakening, more than 30 authors and filmmakers described their life-changing experiences that resulted in extraordinary life-changing transformations and realizations of a deeply interconnected and multidimensional universe. Their understanding of the world and how it works has been so profoundly changed that they are compelled to share their story and pass on the gifts of wisdom, insight, and compassion they have gained. What Wags the World by Miriam Knight is a one-of-a-kind, rich, and enlightening book that will surely open your eyes to the intense universal power within. Available now in paperback and Kindle and major online book retailers, including Amazon.com. Get your copy today through HollywoodBookTrailers.com.
Absolutely, absolutely, Diane. No longer is it about us and them. We must accept of this lower level of vibration of consciousness in awareness or unawareness. We must then forgive it, then release it back in return with blessing. Then we must encompass more of the higher level of being of heightened frequency as far as it relates to embodying the consciousness of oneness. We must, from within our own hearts, know that we must be loving not only to our significant others, our families, our children, our friends, but in as well as to that of our own enemies, to the very people of governments, of corporations, of banking cartels, and of the like of whom have lied to us, and to all of those of whom have potentially done us wrong. We must penetrate deep from within their hearts to awaken them as well. Now, Diane, with only 2 minutes remaining from within our show, can you be able to conclude your very thoughts from within this wonderful conversation with concluding words of your delightful wisdom?
Here's how I would like to wrap it up for all of us, Joel. The more consciously we live our lives, the less crisis awakening we'll need. The more conscious awakening we invoke for ourselves, the less crisis awakening we'll need. I really think that's how it works. And when that happens, life becomes the joy, the delight, the magic that it's meant to be.
And there you have it. It's just as simple as that. And Diane, this has just been just a wonderful, wonderful experience for me. And I am sure that everyone of whom will be listening to this broadcast in the near future or futures to come will be listening to this broadcast and will be essentially feeling the same level of heightened resonance that has been created between the both of us. And because of this, this very conversation will forever be remembered. And I thank you for being here to sharing your thoughts, your experiences, and in your wisdom. And this is definitely going to be a breakthrough for not only this platform within Quantum Mindfulness Radio, but for others as well, from our listening audience, which will open others and to even the curious to what was always meant to manifest from within our hearts. So thank you, Diane, for contributing to the very message that I needed, proving from within itself that this very path that had been presented upon my way and before me was what was always meant to manifest. It was indeed, Diane, a marker of validation for me. And I thank you dearly for being here on the show on Quantum Mindfulness Radio. It brings everything together in alignment. And that is the very essence of what this show was all about. Bringing those of whom have been searching and of those of whom have been in question about their own lives. This conversation from within itself brings to the table a level of heightened intrigue that can potentially spark up a state of conscious evolution and a heightening awareness and awakening from within oneself to where we can all be aware that a paradigm shift is actively and consciously taking place. Thank you, Diane. Thank you, Diane, with the very work that you do. And I bless you with all of the universal laws of positive co-creation and with all of the light that our dear angels and archangels from heavenly above can dearly and divinely provide. Thank you, Diane.
I thank you so much for those beautiful, beautiful words. And thank you for having me, Joel. All the best and many blessings.
And so there we have it. The wonderful and inspiring Diane Collins, a wonderful soul and of such light, a light for which our very world needs today. Diane Collins, the author of her paradigm shifting book, Do You Quantum Think? New thinking that will rock your world on Quantum Mindfulness Radio. If you had missed this show or any other previous broadcasts, please visit us at Quantum Mindfulness Radio's official website at www.quantummindfulnessradio.com. Again, that is www.quantummindfulnessradio.com. All previous and prior broadcasts are archived at the BBS Radio Network. Please join us every other Monday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on the BBS Radio Network. Again, I thank you once more for joining me here tonight on Quantum Mindfulness Radio.